This podcast contains adult situations, horror themes, and disturbing content, and may not be suitable for all audiences. Enjoy!
Welcome, my darling, to episode 18 of the Blood Crow Stories, The Harvesters.
What is going on here? His vitals are abysmal.
I'm sorry, this one's been difficult.
This is the one with the boat?
Yes.
Well, you have three cycles to complete your harvest, or we will find someone who can.
Yes, your greatness, I will complete it.
See that you do.
You're going to get me into trouble, sweet subject. How about you start behaving?
Hi, everyone. Sorry, I needed to grab a glass of water to take my migraine medicine with. I've been having these really intense migraines on and off. I'm not sure why, and if I was home, Amelia would probably say it's something to do with my diet, which it probably is. I miss them. But I think,
You made the right choice.
I made the right choice. They backed me into a corner about this whole thing, and I had to lie just to keep doing the podcast. I need this freedom. I need to be able to,
Finish this.
To finish this, and then I can relax again. Man, I feel like whenever I'm not working on the show, all I can think about is working on it. It takes over every second of every day, so I just need to see this through to the end. Let's get right into it.
Dr. Wiseman, I haven't performed in 4 nights. I keep almost coming to your office to talk, but I had no reason to bother you. It's silly, really. How can I sit here and feel like I've lost everything when all that's happened is I don't feel like performing anymore? It was such a huge part of me, and I feel like I'm not me without it. I know I should probably force myself to go back out on stage, but one of the waiter boys last night, I think his name is Johnny? His boyfriend is dead now, too. Something isn't right here. It feels like, I don't know, my mother would probably call it shui gui and try to run home. They're drowned spirits, and she would always tell me scary stories of them to make me behave. But this is all so much more, and I'm scared. I'm genuinely, truly scared. I don't know if there's someone lurking around the corner, if there's some sickness going around, if maybe it is a shui gui. I just know that maybe I don't have long here.
Josie, be in your dressing room by 5 tonight. The show's been pushed up an hour.
Yes, sir. I've been able to avoid performing for this long. But I mean, it's what I was hired to do. I have to return to the stage.
Return to your beloved audience.
My audience needs me, even if I don't want to perform anymore.
Have a drink.
Maybe I'll just have a glass of wine tonight. It'll help me relax, at least. Then I won't be so focused on everything. All right, I better go gather my things to head to the dressing room.
I'm sorry, everyone. I need to take another quick break. These migraines, they're... It's like something's in my brain pounding to get out. Yeah, I know that sounds really morbid, but I've never had it this bad. It's actually even making my vision a little blurry. I'm going to grab a tape from Dr. Wiseman. Who knows? His voice is very soothing. Maybe it'll make my headache stop.
Ever since quitting my job as the ship psychologist, I've found myself surprised with how I feel. Normally, when I advise a patient to move from jobs that cause them distress, they feel at least some sense of relief, even if they make less money or do not have the same level of prestige. There is relief that their distress has come to an end. I find myself without such comforts or relief. Choosing to retire has done nothing to remove this guilt and grief I feel. Some nights I find myself lying awake, because every time I close my eyes, I see Ms. Edmund again, there, on the floor. And during the day, when I am attempting to do simple tasks like eat or go for a walk, my mind echoes with Mr. Aidan Manis's heartbroken pleas for help. I find myself haunted by my patients, and I have no blame on them for it. I requested for them to be a part of my study, and it feels that whoever or whatever is targeting them is using my study to do so.
I am. You've served me well without ever knowing it.
I feel like I've escorted these good people to their deaths without ever knowing it. I find myself at a loss of what to do. I am distancing myself, and I hope, perhaps, that can help my few remaining patients. It is in moments like these that I find myself wishing I had not drifted so far from my faith. My mother was very close with her beliefs. I was raised in it all, had my bar mitzvah, celebrated the high holy days, everything. But as we should, I questioned the word of God, and perhaps I took that questioning too literally. I drifted away, and it broke my mother's heart. I still followed all traditions when she passed, but I lost the connection I had in my childhood. But now, with what feels like a monster here, or a dybbuk, as my mother would say, I wish so deeply I could grasp back to that faith of my youth. Perhaps it would comfort me or make me feel prepared for what is happening. Perhaps if I had that childhood faith, I wouldn't feel so incredibly lost on how to handle everything. Mr. Manis and Ms. Edmund were both so strong in their faiths, Catholic and Baptist, respectively, that they seemed the most confident and steadfast in facing the terrors that they felt plagued them. What I wouldn't give to have that strength right now. Or perhaps this is something my faith could never help me with. Perhaps this is just something dark in this world for which there is no answer or comfort. It is a terrifying place to be, to have no answers. But I shall continue to seek them.
Okay, Dr. Wiseman, I know this isn't what these tapes are for at all, but I'll want to use it this way, so get over it. I heard a bunch of hollering and crashing while I was walking down the hallway to get some roast duck from the restaurant. You know, the kind with that, like, orange flavor. It is delicious. Anyway, there was all this noise, and if I remember correctly, some workers were talking about a couple of gangsters living in that room. I know I shouldn't be so nosy, but what if something is wrong? I just keep thinking about Edith and how I wasn't there for her, and it's really bothering me, you know? If something's wrong with these kids, I want to do what I can. Okay, here we go. Hello? Hello? You okay in there? Oh, Lord, it's unlocked. Okay, this is extremely rude of me, but I'm coming in. Don't worry, just checking on you. Hello? Don't get mad at me if you're in here. I'm just a concerned person. Oh my God. Oh my God. Help, doctor. We need a doctor. Help. Help, doctor. We need a doctor. Help. Help.
Wait, that's weird. Penny went to Darla and Barry's room, right? But Barry would have already been taken away? And I have a tape here. It's marked Darla. Oh, no. Darla losing her brother, and now I almost don't want to play this.
But you have to.
Ah! It's that damn migraine again. It's like it's hot. Like there's this burning pain in my head. I'm gonna take some more drugs. Let's just see what Darla's tape is.
I can't do this. I just really can't. Barry's gone. He's gone. I ain't been without him ever. Yeah, ever. He's been a part of me since the day we was born. I don't know what to do. They came and took him away and they thought I did it at first. I guess they changed their mind. This room is, it's just so empty right now. I know I get mad at him and storm off or what, but this is different. This is hollow. This is like nothing I ever felt before. I can't eat. I can't sleep. It just ain't right without him. I feel like nothing. I'd rather be with him right now.
I can help with that.
You! You're that thing that was in his head!
Really? No screaming, no shock. I'm disappointed.
Why? Why would I do that? Yeah? You think this is funny? You enjoy torturing us, making all this bad stuff happen?
Well, you all make it so enjoyable, huh?
So do it.
What?
Do it. Bring me up. Bash my face and get in my head. Whatever it is you do, just do it.
You don't command me. Why should I do it because you tell me to?
That's why you're here, ain't it? It's my turn, huh? Well, I'm ready. So just do it.
What fun is it to kill you now? Why shouldn't I let you suffer? Give me one reason I should take your heart now.
Because you already did. You took my Barry. He was everything I had and the only thing that kept me going. We came into this world together. We should have left it together. After everything we've been through, I'm not afraid of you. Nothing you could do could scare me. You already did the worst thing to me you could possibly do. You ripped my heart from my chest. I'm already dead. So just rip me up. Crush me. String me up. Shoot me. Do your absolute worst, but just end it.
Fascinating. These creatures are so interesting. Don't you agree, Max?
No. No, not again. I can't be hearing this voice. It's just gotta be these horrible migraines. That, yeah, hallucinating. I haven't eaten that great since all that happened. So yeah, I just need a nice big meal and I need for this medicine to hurry up and kick in. I'll be fine.
But Mary won't be.
Let's check in on Mary,
There we go.
I've been meaning to ask, why do you always record everything between us? I mean, I don't mind it, but since you're turning it on again, I figured I'd ask.
I'm sorry, it's a little silly, but if I'm honest, it's because I almost can't believe it. All of this, I spent so long hiding it, and now I record everything so that when you're gone, I can listen and I'll hear your voice and I can remind myself that it's not a dream, that you're real and we're real.
Oh, Mary, it's all real, I promise.
No, it's not like that. I know what you're thinking, and it's not that. It's more like, it almost feels like this beautiful, bizarre wish that came true, but in the most horrible of ways.
What do you mean by horrible?
Oh, no. Cindy, it's so wonderful. I mean, like, before Tommy, before he left us, I just wished so strongly for a way to be free. I longed for a way to be myself, wishing constantly for anything to let me be the real me. And then Tommy and passed, and you came into my life, and for the first time ever, I felt free. I felt accepted. And happy, really and truly happy. And yet that just feels so foreign to me. It's all because of something so twisted, I just immediately assume that it's wrong.
I think I understand.
And I suppose, what if in all my wishing to be free, what if the horrible thing that made me a widow also gave me you? What if I caused this? Somehow I just feel so guilty about it. Tommy wasn't a bad man. He had his flaws, and maybe we weren't perfect for each other, but he cared for me, and he took care of me. I never went hungry. We had a lovely home. I had beautiful things. We had a good life.
You think your feelings are why he did what he did?
I suppose. In a way, yes.
I understand.
Cindy, you can't possibly understand.
No.
I understand.
What?
Oh, sweet Mary. So faithful.
What's wrong with your voice? What's wrong with your voice? You're acting strange.
All this time and you still haven't figured out it wasn't Tommy. I left you such a perfect scene and you believed every bit of it.
You killed him? Cindy, how? What is this? Where's Cindy? Who are you? What did you do to... Why did you kill my Tommy?
Because his heart was so full of sorrow and it was delicious. Just like I'm sure your heart will be. Now tell me, how should I kill you? Hang you like the husband you never loved? Make you drink yourself to death like your father? Or maybe just rip your head off like that boy in your neighborhood did to a bug when you were 7?
What are you? How do you know this?
I've been in your mind over and over. It's so easy to pick you apart, pull out all the little pieces that hurt you. Your mind is an open book, and it is far too much fun. But don't worry, I'll be back. In the meantime, enjoy your last moments with Cindy. They'll be the only good memories you have.
Mary? Mary, I don't feel so good for some reason. Like my head is spinning, and I feel a little nauseous.
You might be a bit sick, dear. Come on. Let's let you rest for a bit.
I feel like I blacked out or something. What happened?
I don't know. Let's just rest for now. It'll be okay. I'll order a nice dinner for us.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you. I love you, Mary.
I love you too. Cindy.
Yes?
Just now, you don't remember anything.
No, I know we were talking, and then I guess it's like I woke up, but now I feel really unwell.
All right, just get some rest, dear.
Okay.
Dr. Weissman. Dr. Weissman, I hope you were able to hear that. Something happened. I don't understand it, but we're not safe here. I don't know how to stop it, please. Just help us.
Mary. God. At least she knows that she's not the reason Tommy died, but fucking God. The truth is terrifying. And threatening her like he'll come back later. What even is his aim anymore? Hasn't he done enough? Shouldn't he be, like, bored by now or something?
Oh, you humans are never boring.
What the fuck?
Now, is that any way to greet a friend?
A friend?
Do you not recognize my voice?
Malsif, you're Malsif!
There we go. Someone give the boy a prize.
Why are you here? These tapes are from 100 years ago.
Oh, Max. You still have so much to learn. But you've been a great help to me. So I'll give you some time. I'm not quite done yet.
What do you mean? What are you doing?
That's not important right now. Just keep playing the tapes.
No!
Play the tapes!
Hey, Josie, waitress just brought this glass of wine around for you.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I'll have it after the song.
Drink it!
It'll help calm your nerves.
You're probably right. Thank you, everyone. I know times have been a bit rough here lately. I've done my best to distract you all, but I think perhaps tonight we should take a moment and remember everyone we've lost. I want to treat you all to a song I learned during the wake of the young Irishman we lost back on Valentine's Day.
Oh, the money that here I have, I spent it in good company. And all the harm that e'er I've done, alas, it was to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass, good night and joy be to so fill to me the parting glass and drink a health, whatever befalls. And gently rise and softly call, good night and joy be to you all. Of all the comrades that e'er I've had, they're sorry for my going away. And all the sweethearts that e'er I've had, they would wish me one more day to stay. But since it fell unto my lot that I should rise and you should not, I'll gently rise and I'll softly call, Good night and joy be to you all. So fill to me the parting glass and drink a health whate'er befalls. And gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all. A man may drink and not be drunk. A man may fight and not be slain. A man may court a pretty girl and perhaps be welcomed back again. But since it has so ought to be, by a time to rise and a time to fall, come fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. So fill to me the parting glass and drink a health whatever befalls. And gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all. And gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be with you all.
The Blood Crow Stories is produced by Ellie Collins and Scott Moore. Season 1, The SS Utopia, is written by Ellie Collins. Sound production by Scott Moore. Dr. Wiseman is played by David Benedict. Max is played by Evan Ivy. Tommy Washburn is Judson Ragsdale. Mary Washburn is Laura Hauser. Aiden Manis is Joe Ravenson. Nora is Emily Thomas. Penny Rutherford is Angel Ash. Leo Moretti is Charlie Close. Fiona Bedivere is Amanda Van Heil. Mel Seff is Eric Ravenscraft. Additional voices provided by Zachary Vaudo, Eric Green, Javakas Green, Audrey Statler, Lindsay Van Pelt, Leif Ballard, Arun Matthew, Daniel Van Heil, Ovis Ross, and Gray Lynn. Subscribe on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice, and follow us on Twitter at TBCSPodcast, Instagram at The Blood Crow Stories, and Facebook at facebook.com/TheBloodCrowStories. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/TheBloodCrowStories to become a patron and receive behind-the-scenes access, bonus episodes, and monthly chats with cast and crew.